for letting us come. Now, this was not supposed to happen tonight. I was nothing more than a glorified chauffeur. My son had reason to come here. Check out the announcements, I guess. And so so he needed someone to come with him. And it fell my lot, which I'm glad to be here. Don't get me wrong. I always love to come to Racine. But when I called Brother Epley and I said, hey, I just want you to know I'm going to show up. We just want to hear some good preaching. I have to hear mine all the time. And so I just want to hear some good, and you know how he is. and so it's fallen my lot to do that. But we're glad to be here with you. We don't intend to keep you all night. But I do promise you this one thing. I'm going to have a good time. I don't care what you do. You can sit there and look at me like I'm you looking at a new gate. But I come here tonight to have a move of God. I come here I've heard from God for you. There's some of you bound up. Guess what? Tonight you're getting out. Tonight you're getting out. Tonight you're breaking out. Tonight you're getting what you need from God. Tonight you're going to get your healing. Tonight you're going to get your deliverance. Tonight you're going to get your mind back. Tonight you're getting rid of stress. Tonight, everybody say tonight. Everybody say tonight. Everybody say tonight. Come on, let's give him praise. Sit down just one more time. I give honor to your good pastor and his wife. My wife thinks Sister Epley is just about the best thing in the world, and she gives her love. She is. Thank you. Praise God. You must be trying to get in the wheel. Was he really? Yeah. That's good. You are in the wheel. And but we love these folks tremendously. When you go back and look at how this all come together, I've known of Brother Epley for a long time, and then to be able to call him friend is a high watermark in my life, because you know everybody makes fun of his height, but I'm telling you, there's not a taller man in the apostolic movement. You say what you want to, brother. Quote a scripture, and I promise he'll quote it back to you. Call him about a biblical. I promise he can tell you. There's not a more learned scholar in the Word of God that I know, and my church absolutely loves him. They preached us a revival, and man, we had a good time. I'm telling you, it was awesome. And Hunter was feeling his oats one night, and he wanted to be a blessing and tell Brother Epley how much he appreciated him. And he said, Daddy, Brother Epley is my most favorite preacher. And I said, great, great. What's your favorite message? He went, I don't remember what he preached, but he's still my most favorite preacher. I couldn't wait to get to him and tell him. And we don't remember what you preached, but you're good. Hallelujah. But he did preach a message at our place, and I'm sure he's preached it here. I know he preached it at two other places. It's called So Far, So Good. Now, the folks in Bonner Springs, we lost our minds, which we don't have much to lose. We're nervous folks by nature. We come to the house of God, bro. We're going to have a move of God one way or the other. We don't need music. We don't need anybody. We don't need a cheerleader. All we need is an opportunity. That's the way I raised them. The greatest office in the world is a worshiper of the one true living God. You can't get above that. And so he preached that message to us. And boy, my folks lost their mind. So much so that one lady embroidered a pillow and put that on there. So far, so good. I got it sitting on my desk. So I saw him sometime later. That's before he came here. And I asked him, I said, Brother, that was just an awesome word of God. Thank you for preaching that to us. He said, Elder, you know what? I preached that two other places. And they sat there and looked at me the whole time. He says, as a matter of fact, the only place that ever went over is your place. I said, well, brother, thank God. That's a compliment for us. Now, evidently, it wasn't for everybody else. It was for us. Well, I don't even intend to keep you long tonight. If you'll stand in reverence to the word of the Lord, give honor to the Murphys and all the preachers here. God bless you. Again, I believe it or not, I have heard from the Lord. I really have. Now, I know that's you're going to qualify that in a little bit. That's all right. That's no problem. That's no problem whatsoever. See, I already know how it's going to end up. I already know how the end of the production is going to go. Because I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to preach to me. And I know for a fact I'm going to be preaching to some of you. Forgive me tonight. My ability to trust God is not greater than these glasses, so I have to have them to be able to read. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 12. We're going to do a good bit of reading. Don't worry. Hopefully the reading and the preaching won't be balanced. Hallelujah. My God, it's quiet. Somebody die. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 12. Sister Chris, good to see you. I love you. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, and horror of great darkness fell upon him. Genesis 15 and 12. Did we get that? Okay, I just want to make sure. I hear folks talking. What's he talking about? And verse 13, and he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Let me tell you something, folks. There's sometimes you don't want a word from God.
All right.
Well, how you like that? God shakes you up and says, let me tell you something. Your kid's going to be in slavery 400 years. Have sweet dreams. And he said, also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Genesis 15:22. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children of Machir, or however you want to pronounce that. I'm from Franklin Parish, Louisiana. We don't have people like that there. The son of Manasseh, who were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die. And God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land, which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old. They embalmed him and put him in a coffin in Egypt. Exodus 3 and 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard the cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a land, a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Ites and the Ites and all the other Ites. Verse 9, now therefore behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come up unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. One last reading, Exodus 3 and 18. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go. We beseech thee these 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all the wonders which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, everybody say after that, he'll let you go. After that, he's going to let you go. After that, he's going to let you go. And I will that when you go, you shall not go empty. There's two things that I've read to you out of all these scriptures. Here's the theme out of all of them. Number one, you are getting out of where you are. Number two, you're getting out with something. You're not going to leave like you came. You didn't hear me. You're getting out from where you are, and you're getting out now. And when you get out, you're going to leave with more than you came in. There's some of you sitting here tonight, so bound up in the spirit. You're thinking, my God, Lord, I don't know how it's going to get any worse. I don't see how it's getting any better. The economy, my spiritual life, my marriage, this. I'm telling you, God's going to fix it all tonight if you'll let him. Hallelujah. I want to preach to you a little while this simple subject. Give me some room. I'm coming out. Give me some room. I'm coming out. Now, you know by the title. You know by the title that I got to have some help. Now, I have preached in all the Pentecostal libraries across our fellowship. And the quieter it gets, the crazier I'm going to get. He told me to do what I wanted to do. Praise God. We got the car pointed back toward Kansas City. I promise you tonight, folks, we're going to have a move of God. Now, I understand y'all had a massive move of God Sunday night. Why should we have anything less tonight? God's not sick. God's not upset. God's not freaking out. Hey, come on, folks. It's time for you and I to get what we came to church for. Come on, I'm getting out of here tonight. I'm getting out of my situation tonight. I'm getting out of my stress tonight. I'm getting out of this mindset tonight. Come on, let's give God praise one more time. God bless you. You can be seated. You can be seated. Let me get my uniform on. Be of good cheer. I will tell you, for those that are wondering, yes, we're doing this Zeal product. I've had to take my belt up another notch tonight so that I won't embarrass you or myself. Yeah, please, he better. Praise God, because I don't have any more notches to take up. We have heard so much about Obamacare and bailouts and fix outs and get me outs that we in the church have almost forgotten about the divine come out. We're so caught up in the world bailing us out and getting us out and fixing our problems and taking care of everything in our lives. We forget there's a God whom we serve, who's the only, the Bible says he's not far from any one of us. And the scripture tells me that it is the Father's good pleasure to give to his children the very kingdom of God, which is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Last I knew, we are people of the Holy Ghost. Last I knew, we are people of the name. Last I knew, he was talking about us. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't give you the rules on how this is going to work tonight. So let me stop and give you the rules. This is not a monologue. This is how it works. I talk, you talk. I scream, you scream back. I say something good, you say, oh me, something, praise God. But don't sit there and look at me because it makes me nervous and makes me think you're guilty. So let's give it a go. You ready? God is good. My God, you folks learn so well. You're doing so good. We're going to have a good time tonight. I know the devil's having a nervous breakdown right now. We're going to give the devil a nightmare right here in Racine. Somebody's coming out. Somebody's getting out. Somebody's getting delivered. Somebody's getting their mind straight. Somebody's getting their marriage back. Oh, our whole society is accustomed to wanting out. Everybody you meet, somebody's wanting out of their marriage right now. You can be seated. Somebody's wanting out of a bad debt right now, out from under a credit card, out from under a note, out from under a loan, out from under a bankruptcy, out from under. We just want out. We want out from under responsibility, out from under the judgments of the world. We just want to feel free. How many of you have even said today, man, I wish I could just have some peace. I just wish I had somewhere I could breathe. I need a vacation. No, you don't need a vacation. You need an intervention from on high. You need a divine touch of God Almighty in your life. And I know how to get it. I know how to get it when his people cry for the reason of their afflictions. He will hear and he will respond. But God is not in the habit of making you do what you don't want to do. God is not in the habit of blessing people who are not ready and willing. God's not in the habit of giving away the good things to people that are not asking for them. But I'm going to tell you tonight, if you want something from God, you just need to get a little bit hungry. If you need something from God, you just get a little bit crazy. Just get a little bit mindset on God. Hey, God, I got it tonight. I'm coming out. So we have become accustomed to this world that's getting this out. But what's going to happen when the world can't get you out no more? What's going to happen when you go to the banker and he won't loan you any more loans? I got a guy in my church lost over $15 million worth of property simply for the reason that the banker would not renew his loan. He wasn't late. He wasn't defunct. He wasn't doing anything wrong. Everything was perfect. But because of the economy, they would not renew his loan. He had over, at that particular time, $3.5 million worth of property. All he owed was $2.1 million, and they would not renew his loan. As of today, he has lost over $15 million worth of property. As of November the 27th, he'll lose another $6.6 million worth of property. And you know, you would think a man like that would be down in the dumps. You'd think a man like that would be, woe is me. But I preached this message Sunday night to my church. And let me tell you, folks, that man is shouting higher today than he, you know why? Because he's got a relationship with God. And he knows that God is going to hear his cry. And he knows God's going to come back. You know what apostolics do? We fall, brother, but we bounce. We get up. We get back because we've got a God who's greater than anything the devil can throw against us. Come on, my God, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. It's time to do a little spiritual warfare. Come on, folks, let's have church like we used to back in the old days. Come on, let's have a move of God like we used to back then. Hallelujah. And so what you going to do when they won't bail you out? What you going to do when the world won't let you out? Won't let you out from under your obligations? Won't let you out from under your situations? What you going to do then? See, the problem is, and Brother Epley, I wonder, have we been so spoiled over the last years that God can't trust us with trouble anymore? There was a time when troubles came. It didn't drive us away from God. It drove us to an altar. There was a time when the baby got sick, brother. We wasn't looking for the nearest phone to call the ambulance. We was looking for the man of God. We was looking for an altar somewhere. We was looking for some oil. What are you doing? I tell you what I'm doing. I gotta touch God. I gotta touch God. But see, we're increased with God. We may not be Laodicea, but we can see it from where we are. Never before has the apostolic church been more rich than it is now. Never before have we dressed better than we do now. Never before have we looked better than we do now. And I'm telling you, but never before has our spiritual level been under such attack like it is today. And I'm telling you, if we're going to maintain, do you hear what I'm telling you? Not every church still believes what you believe. Not every preacher still preaches what he preaches. I'm telling you, you're in a God sent to be here tonight. You're in the house of God. You better thank God. You're in a house of refuge. And you got a man of God not afraid of the devil, are you? And he'll stand in the pulpit and preach what thus saith the word of God. That's the reason you're having Sunday night services like you just had. That's the reason you're having moves of God like you're having. Let me ask you something. Maybe I'm just preaching to folks that doesn't matter. Have you ever had something you wanted out of? You ever had a debt you just wanted to be through with, just be done? Well, let's get real ugly then. You ever been in a relationship and you wanted out of? And let me just I'll tell you. I know a lot of apostolic tongue talkers who are as bound as anybody I ever met in the world. Oh, no, you're not possessed, because I don't believe you can be possessed and be full of the Holy Ghost. But we are bound in our minds and bound in our spirits. We are afraid to talk the talk and walk the walk. We're afraid of a Sunday night because we know Wednesday's coming. We're afraid to commit to the man of God because we don't need the devil on our trail. We're afraid to consecrate because we know what's going to happen, that the devil's going to come in. But can I remind you, the Bible says that when the devil comes in like a flood, my God is going to raise up a standard. You know what he's going to do? He's going to get you out. He's going to bail you out. He's coming after his own. And so, but the beginning of getting out has got to start somewhere. And the beginning of getting out starts, number one, with a divine intervention. But before that divine intervention can get you out of where you are, it's got to get out of you what's in you. See, God was able to get all of Israel out of Egypt, but even God was not able to get all of Egypt out of Israel.
Every one of them died with the exception of a handful in the wilderness because of the grumbling and the mumbling. They forgot there was a God that was a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud. They forgot about the Red Sea rolling back. They forgot about how God sustained them. They forgot about how their clothes never wore out. And God said, I can't stand it. You know what it was? Many times they come up to the little pool, Mara, and because there was a little difficulty, they started losing their mind. What'd you do, Moses? You bring us out here to die? Well, at least we had something to eat in Egypt. Why would you do this? Well, we're thirsty. Why would you do this? And God spoke to the man of God. Folks, I'm trying to preach to you the old-fashioned principles that when it gets rough in the church and when it gets tight in the pew, don't you do anything. You sit right there and you wait on a move of God, because I promise you God's going to start talking to the preacher. And he may do something that's so out of character. And he may do something that the people up the road laugh at. But brother, when God told Moses, you see that bush right there, go over and cut it down and throw it in the well, throw it in the pond. And the Bible says those bitter waters were made sweet and they drank, ladies and gentlemen. But here's the big picture. We preach about that and shout about that. Mara was a testing ground. It was not where God wanted his people to be. Because the scripture says he led them to a place called Elim. And at Elim there were 12 wells. And they wasn't bitter. And there were 70 palm trees. And they all had shade. That's where God was wanting them to be. It's amazing how we get accustomed and we get used to a handful when we own the entire valley. It is a curse of the apostolic church that we've got minds, intellectual minds on our pews. And we've got potential like never before. That people here, oh, you may be making $500 a week. And I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, you could be making $1,000 or $1,500 if you'd quit being so afraid of everything that goes boo in the dark. Come on, folks. No pain, no gain. But you got to have a little faith in God to bless your mind, to bless your spirit, to bless your goings. Because Mara is not where God wants you to be. He wants you out of that mentality. God wants you down at Elim. He wants you down at Elim. So I've come to serve notice on you tonight. God's heard you cry. You coming out whether you want to or not. You getting out. You either going to come out or he's going to come where you are. And I got news for you. When Jesus comes where you are, brother, he troubles the waters. He'll mess up your world. He'll turn it all upside down. Hallelujah. He'll take your little play pretties that you've made and he'll reveal them for what they are. See, I don't care how long you've been sick. The length and longevity of your problem has nothing to do with God. I don't care how long you've been stressed. I don't care how long you've been depressed. I don't care how many Valiums you take a day. Yeah, Paxil, Zoloft, all this other junk. You know, yeah, go ahead and take it if you need it. I'm not preaching again. Go for it, man. Knock yourself out. You can be a Lulu if you want to. I'd rather have a little pain, have my faculties, than walk around, you know, like a slug. You ever seen people on that stuff? They don't walk. It's like the walking of the living dead. You couldn't scare them, brother. You cut their hand off. Hey!
Hey.
But come on, folks. What about God? What about the Holy Ghost? What about praying for the sick? What about the prayer of faith raising them up? What about anointing them with oil? What about an altar? What about going to God first? Why not give God a chance? Oh, we cheat ourselves out of so many testimonies because we're so used to the arm of flesh bailing us out. But oh God, not anymore. We're made a mind that we're going back. We're going back to the old landmark. We're going to stand in the way and see and ask for the old path. God, we want it just like it was. We want to see the real. Come on, somebody. I want to see God move like he used to. Come on, come on, come on. Give him praise. All right, all right. See, the problem is, we're like the world. $750 billion. 30 pieces of silver bought what we have. See, the world tried to buy it, and he was too hot to handle. We should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We quote that so fast, we don't get what it's saying. What it's saying is that one time we were bound, one time we were shackled, one time we were in prison, but God brought us out. God lifted us up. God came to where we were and led us to the mountaintop. And now we've got a job to do. We've got a responsibility. Now, when I got the Holy Ghost all those years ago, I didn't know anything about the Bible. All right. I'd never been taught a Bible study. I didn't know what this juking and jiving, you know, I didn't know I knew the mechanics, but I didn't know the depth of the Word. I didn't know. But I did know this one thing. I know what I felt.
Yeah.
And I know what I liked. And what I liked and I felt was the same thing. And I got addicted to him. And I found out this principle. The more I got of him, the less I had time for them. You didn't hear me. The more I got of him, let me tell you this way. The closer you get to God, the more narrow it's going to get. And a lot of the things that's troubling your mind today will take care of themselves. If you get a prayer life you use like you used to, if you'll fast like you used to, if you'll run the house when nobody else will. Okay. I know you're listening. I know, no. But see, here's the deal. When I got in church, I couldn't quote scripture. I was terrible at Bible drills. Even when you put the cheat sheets, you know what I'm talking about, where they, you know, you got them little tabs that tells you where the books are. I mean, my fingers are like stumps. They don't work good with things like that. That's the reason if you get a text from me and it don't say what it should say, that ain't for me. First of all, I don't text saints, but at the same time, let me just go and tell you, I just don't function well. But there was one thing in the apostolic church, brother, that I became expert at overnight. Now, you got to help me here. Just don't go back and tell what I'm going to tell. But I prayed through in the deadest apostolic church in all of Pentecost. You know I'm telling you the truth. If they shout once a month, God's coming. I am not exaggerating. Now again, I got nothing against the old songs. I like them. But my God, you can't put a thoroughbred racehorse in a harness and tell him to plow all the time. Because if you do, after a while, he's going to forget where he's at and dirt's going to be flying higher than the trees. Because the old nature's going to come out. What feels good's good. You ever seen drummers do it before? Drummers are the world's worst out of all the musicians. The more they feel God, the faster they get. That's the truth. Bro, you can tell when a drummer's hooked up, man. And the church is out here trying to shout with it. And man, you don't know whether to go down or go up or go right. You don't know what to do. That's where we get that scripture. Turn him loose. Let him go. Hang on. No, that's where it comes from. But there was one thing I knew how to do, and that was worship God. And I loved it, and I was good at it. Because I didn't care what you thought. I didn't care what you thought. I didn't care what you said. I didn't care the way you looked at me. Because see, I remember that I was a devil going to hell. I remember that God made me a saint when I was a sinner. I remember that God made me a prince when I was a pauper. This mentality. I owe him too much to sit on this pew and act like a fool. I'm almost 52 years old. I ceased all mental development at 16 when it comes to God. I still feel the same old thing that I felt back then. I just wish this body would give me the liberty to do what I used to do, to run the pews, Here's my point with all of that. Shame on us. Shame on us. We'll spend 2 hours getting ready. Prepping, flipping, dipping, sticking. We rub it on and then rub it off. Spend 2 hours getting ready to meet God. And here's the shame. See, that's a sacrifice. But the problem is, we get this lovely sacrifice, and more times than not, we leave those doors looking just as prim and proper as when we came in. And I got news for you. If you think you're going to the same heaven I'm going to, you've lost your mind. I'm fixing to mess up your world, Buttercup. I'm going to shout on your blue suede shoes. I'm fixing to mush your hair up. I'm fixing to mess your little mentality up. That ain't the way it's going to be. You know why? You might have been raised in church, but I wasn't. Your mom and daddy may have the Holy Ghost, but mine didn't. No, you still ain't getting it, see? Okay, sit down there. Now, this church is famous for your ability to serve God. I'm fixing to put you on the spot. You ready? How many has ever had God do something for you, a miracle? No, I'm not talking about some, you know, sick and Messiah passing me on by, rub it and slick it. No, I'm talking about a bona fide miracle. Amen. Well, that's like the majority of the people here. Well, how many of you good folks then have been delivered? How many ex-alcoholics are in the building? How many ex-drug heads are in the building? Oh, go ahead and stand up. You wasn't ashamed when you do it. Don't be ashamed to be it now. How many ex-liars are in the building? And all the rest of you liars can stand up. How many illicit lifestyle folks did we have in the building? How many folks were fornicators and adulterers and all? Well, my point is this. That's what we were. But look where God's brought us from to where we are. But it's an indictment against the church when we come and sit here and nothing changed. Let me tell you what, brother. We are to show forth the praises of Him who's called us out of darkness. Your sweat, my friend. Your sweat. Your wrinkled clothes. The bobby pins on the floor. Your hair being messed up is letting me know, hey, you've been to church. Hey, you must have met Him. Hey, you must have been in His presence. Well, I gotta wait for the right song. I gotta wait for the right scripture. You don't have to wait for anything, but just start remembering what God did for you. Remember when you were dying and God healed you. Remember when you were broke and God blessed you. Remember when you were without and God brought you within. Come on, somebody. You need to bump your neighbor and tell him, my God, I'm getting out. You need to bump him and say, give me some room. I'm getting out of here. I'm getting out of this mindset. I'm getting out of this mentality. What's wrong, the ladies in this church? Y'all, the ladies, you don't get what I mean, God's never done anything for you girls. I'm coming out. Move over, give me some room, give me some space. I gotta get out of here. Now make it real. Now make it spontaneous. Now do it because you really want to do it. Now do it because you love Him. Now do it because you owe Him. You got to get out or you're not going to make it. You got to get out of that mentality. You got to get out of that welfare spirit. I'm telling you, there are blessings for the people of God if the people of God are hungry. There's the deliverance for the people of God if the people of God want out. Stand and do whatever you want to do. God's heard you. God's heard you cry, sir. God's heard you cry. Hey, some of you men got businesses. Some of you girls got business. Why don't you worship God not for what God is doing, but for what God has done? And I promise you, when you praise Him for the past, God will move in your future. Come on. Come on, Samson. Bow up. Really worship. Come on, Samson. Bow up. Put your back in it. Put your spirit in it. You're going to have to get doubt out of your life. You're going to have to get doubt out of your life. You're going to have to get doubt out of your life. Quit making excuses for the doubt you're dealing with. Doubt comes in so many different forms. Number one, God just won't do it for me. You're wrong. How do you know? Because if God did it for me, He's bound to do it for you. Number two is, I know God will do it, but I just don't know if He will. I know He can, but I don't know if He will. If you are living for God, that's the reason when they came to Jesus, there was a time of prayer. That's the reason He was able to forgive sins and then heal the body. Because to heal the body, He had to take care of the soul first. Go and sin no more. Take up your bed and walk. What God was saying, look, I'm getting you out, but to make sure you never get back, I'm going to show you how you got out. We never find one time where that man with his 38 years impotent in his feet at that day or at that pool ever came back. See, that's the deal. Some of us have become so accustomed to the pain.
Go ahead.
We can't live without it. They take a baby elephant when it's old enough to walk and they give it to a handler in Egypt or in India. As that thing progresses and grows, naturally it gets massive. It's wild. And so they take a huge logging chain and wrap it around its back leg and wrap it around the biggest tree they can find and they'll leave him there. And they'll hear him all night long screaming and trumpeting. They can hear him shaking that tree, pulling with all his might. Go back the next morning, his leg is bloody. Where he pulled, he wants to be free. But the days turn into weeks, and the weeks into months, and then into years. They bring him back to that same tree. They tie him up. Until finally they realize, we got him. Because they don't want to deal with that old heavy chain, so they'll go get an old grass rope, tie it around that same leg, and tie it to the same tree. And he'll intimate that he's going to pull, but he'll feel that tug, and man, what's the use? I can't get loose. Until finally, this massive animal, they'll take a stake and drive it in the ground anywhere and put a coil or rope around it. And he won't even try to get loose. And I pastored long enough to see good apostolic folks living beneath their privilege in God. And it was not God's fault. And it was not the preacher's fault. It wasn't even the devil's fault. It was your fault. You lost the will to try. This is all I'm going to be. This is what my mama was. This is what my daddy was. This is all I know. I've tried to get out before, preacher, but I just can't stay out.
Go ahead.
See, the problem is just what you said. You got out before.
All right.
When you break out, they always bring you back. When you break out of prison, they keep searching until I heard the other day they found a guy 33 years he'd been out of prison. But they got him. Guess where he's going? But when God gets you out, He gets you all the way out. What? Shh. Get up. Well, I would, but these... I mean, I'm dreaming. Chains, you know, chains between the two guards here. I mean, okay, I'll play. What you want me to do? Shh, come with me. And so Simon gets up and he's walking out of where he'd just been chained between two guards. In the morning, they've already told him, we're cutting your ignorant head off. And so they walk through the first door, and Simon's just about to tell the guy from another world, hey, what about him? It opens. He's going, my God, this is a dream, dude. I don't know what they fed me, but I want some more of that. And they go to the next door, and it opens. And they go to the next door. And fear only came on him when he walked out the last door of the prison, and the angel disappeared. And then he realized, oh, my God, I'm out. I didn't even want out. I wanted out, but I didn't know I was going to get out. I know I couldn't get out. I tried to get out. I thought about getting out. I can't get out. I'm confused. Well, he's not near about as confused as the people who have doubt in their lives, because there's a church over there praying. There's a church over there praying for his release. He finally finds the address. Boom, 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 boom. A little girl comes, opens a peephole and says, shut up. It's me, Simon. Open the door. She beats these back in there where they are. They're praying, oh God, turn him loose. Turn him loose. And she's going, excuse me. Excuse me. Pardon me. Excuse me. Pardon me. He's at the door. Simon's at the door. Now, baby, we know. Now, baby, we know God's going to do it. But we just got to wait on God now. I've heard that in Pentecost. I'm sick of it. Why do we ask if we give God leisure of time? Why, we got to make excuses for God. Simon's like a boom, 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 boom. She finally comes back, opens the people. You crazy thing. Open this door. I'm out. I know we prayed for you again. I'm out, you nut. Open the door. As soon as they find out I'm out, they're going to come get me. And that's where some of you are right now. Because see, not only will doubt hinder your walk with God, that fear of being overtaken, that fear of being recovered by the enemy, that fear will keep you from walking in God and preaching truth and living for God and doing what you know to do. Fear is of the devil. Fear is anti-faith. And if you live with that anti-faith long enough, it will come to pass. You tell your husband he's a devil long enough, he'll be one. You tell your wife she's an old nag long enough, she'll be one. You tell your kids they're stupid long enough, and they will. It's negative faith. It's what they all they hear. It's all they know. And like that elephant, they never try to break out. They never try to get above it. But somewhere in your mind, you gotta draw a line and say, that's enough. I'm done. Shammah did it over a little field of beans. He said, you know what? I'm not letting them take another bean. They're not, this is my field. This is my place. This is mine. God gave it to me. And if God wants to let me die, then I'll die. But I'm taking some of them with me. And brother, when the day was over, they had to unfold his hand off of the sword. When the day was over, God delivered him. Come on, folks, it's time to get out. Punch your neighbor and tell him, give me some room. I'm getting out. I got to get out of here. I'm getting out of this way. I'm getting out of this mindset. I know I got you standing, and it's a good ploy to get me to quit. I never thought about that. I'm going to tell my folks. But here's the deal. Aren't you sick of coming to an apostolic church? Aren't you sick of coming to a powerhouse? Aren't you sick of having the greatest man of God in the movement and coming with your problems and leaving with them? Aren't you tired of that? Young folks, that's not the way it's supposed to be. We've lied to you all these years. Oh, yeah. Oh, let's go to the altar and let's pray and maybe God will do something. And that's what he did. Maybe. We got a lot of maybes. And then we got back to the pew and said, well, maybe tomorrow I'll feel better. And maybe tomorrow the cancer will fall off. And maybe tomorrow the pain will go away. And maybe, maybe, maybe. But that's not faith.
No, sir. Right? No, Lord. Right now. Go ahead.
Faith is, Lord, though you slay me, I got my mind made up. I don't care what you do to me. I don't care what you do to anybody. I'm going to get what's mine. I'm going to get out of this place. I got to get out of this mindset. I'm coming to a close. Sis, if you'll come help me on that. And no funeral music. Ain't nobody dead. Half you folks think you're dying. We fix a prayer for you. You can get resurrected. All you folks are sick. You go in and you search. Well, I ain't taking that no more. I'm going to get healed tonight.
All right,
Lord. He ain't going to be zeal either.
All right. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So that's all that's going to help you. Can I have a drummer? Now I want you feeling it. Guitar player, come on, come on. Give me some ZZ Top. Come on, old bassy. Thump on that thing like Jesus. Watch this. I saved this one for last. You need a reason to come out. I'm going to give it to you right now. Because the queers came out. Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Sidkenu, Jehovah Rapha. All right. What happens when you get old? You forget good stuff. It's one thing to get out. You know what? They tell me that when you go in prison, they take everything you got. When you get out, they'll give you a $20 bill and a firm handshake and say, see you in a couple weeks. But when God delivered me, God took an old hateful spirit. God took a lying tongue. God took a filthy mouth. And you know what he gave me in return? Righteousness, peace, and joy in this sweet holy. I'm telling you folks, when I came out, I'm a better man today than I ever was when I went in that prison. And guess what? If you'll get out, God's going to bless you. God's going to bless your business. God's going to bless your marriage. God's going to bless your future. If you'll let God take care of your present. Charge. but he's still set in ashes. It was evident he was going through hell on earth. His best friends were telling him, man, you've messed up. But read the end of the book. God took everything away, or he let the devil. But at the end, God gave him twice as much back. He was better than he ever was before. His daughters were more fair. Hey, come on, somebody. I'm not teaching you a fairy tale. I'm not preaching you a fairy tale. I'm preaching you the Word of God. And if you'll accept it, if you'll have faith in it, Sister Morris, God's going to heal your body. In Jesus' name, I believe God right now with you. God, get her out. Get her out. We need a miracle to substantiate the Word of God tonight. We need a miracle, God, in this house. I'm done. 40 minutes. 40 minutes. It's a record. Tell the folks in Bonner Springs. Here's my last deal. Is there anybody that you want out, but you just still don't have the confidence you can get out by yourself? If you do, I want you to raise your hand or something. I don't care. It may be 100. There's one. Just stay right there. Yeah. Scoot over. You're going to need some room. You, bro. All you guys got your hand. Look at the men. Look at the men the devil's got all wrapped up in their heads. Look at the men that hell's got all trapped up. You know what he's doing? He's got you trapped up so he can trip you up. Don't be a fool. When you trip, don't look for the table. Look for Jesus. Don't look for something to fall against. Look for someone to fall on. Girls, what about you? Is there anybody over here? Because this is it. We're done. Come on now. I'm not asking for a response just so you make me look good. Don't worry about it. God's going to make me look good. Because somebody is going to get out. I don't know how many, but I'm not asking you to shout. Get that thought out of your mind. Good God. We've learned to be professional party players. But let your joy follow on the heels of a revelation. I don't have to live here anymore. I don't have to go home to what I've been going home to ever again. I'm changing me. God's changing the way. God's going before me. Now, all of you raise your hands one more time. Hi. Okay, we got a bunch of folks. I want you folks that didn't raise your hand to turn around and look and find you somebody and go put your hand on them. Brother, right here. Right here. You're living beneath your privilege, brother. You're living on a welfare mentality, sir. And it's not the will of God. There's more in you than that. There's more in you than that. When God gave me this message, I thought about you, son. I don't know why, but your face came to my mind. But I'm telling you tonight, you're getting out. Come on, make your mind up. My God, we need to get some old redneck anger. Well, again, we need to get the indignation of God riled up in us again. All right, you're praying. Let's pray the prayer of faith for him right now. Let's pray. Paul and Silas never changed their tactics, even though the devil changed their location. Don't quit praying. All right, we're almost ready. I'm going to turn you loose. You ready? Something hot. Now let's go. Praise God. All right. Come on, you're coming out. Come on, you're coming out. Come on, you're coming out. Come on, right now. Come on, speak to that situation. I'm out. I'm out of here, devil. I'm out of here, stress. I'm out of here, job. I'm out of here, boss. I'm out of here. You're not treating me like this any longer. Lord, in Jesus' name, I've done what you sent me to do. Now, Lord, deliver this people with the mighty hand of the Lord. God, deliver this people in Jesus' name. Let's go. Come on. It's going to be all right. Get out. name. In Jesus' name. Come on, racing.
Silas had no drum beat, but they got out. Simon had no guitar, but they got out. I hear the noise of war in this house. I hear the noise of war, and the noise of war always precedes the noise of victory. Come on, sis. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Something's about to break loose. Come on, raise your voice. Shout unto the Lord. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him. Come on, somebody worship God with her. Don't let her shout by herself. Worship is a group sport. Everybody ought to be doing it. Okay, I'm about ready. Come on. Come on. Just push a little bit farther. Push a little bit harder. Just go a little bit. Hey, you're getting out, but you're not getting out just one door. You're getting out every door. You're getting out every place. You're going all the way out. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Trust Him. Come on. Don't be afraid. Come on. Get out.
Jesus.
Why don't you raise your hands? I'm praising for the victory right now. Thank you. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. God sent this man tonight to preach. Talk to us tonight. Come on out. Amen. I read a story years ago where they had this. It was in the Heidelberg Zoo. And they had a lion that they had caught. And they put this in the Heidelberg Zoo. And it lived there most of its life. And I forget how many feet. It was like 9 feet wide and like 30 feet long. And, it walked so much that way and so much, your perimeter was in its mind. Right. Well, a benefactor bought the lion, found another lion, bought the lion, said, I'm taking it back to where it come from and letting it live its old days.